The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast, we are back. It is an episode in the 180s, 185, 186, whatever it may be. You got the full squad here, Michael, Dylan, Nick, and myself. A ton to go into, a ton to talk about. We have defined-ish segments now. We're rolling. We're having a ton of fun, which means, let's say this at the top, give us a follow, give us a like. Rate us some 5 stars wherever you purchase your podcast. Hopefully you don't purchase your podcast because that's a pretty new move. But also check us out on YouTube. I think that's actually probably the best way to watch us to take in the podcast. You get to see Michael's disappointed look on his face every time we say something he doesn't like. Nick gets confused sometimes. Dylan wears a lot of different jerseys. And I'm usually sweating by the end of this. So something for everyone. Take a gander at the YouTube. Big weekend for Michael and I. Buckeyes pulled it out at the end. That was huge for us. What's going on in Jersey with the Tucker brothers? Dylan, go ahead. You lead us off. How was your weekend?
I may have had... This isn't going to be great for where I've been talking about, but I may have had the best, like, Friday night. One of the best bars that we like to go to in Hoboken. It was boys' night, and we walked in, and it ended up being Taylor Swift night.
Nice.
You want to talk about a vibe? I may have had the best time just bopping around, singing, drinking my ultras, not realizing that it was a precursor for what my Sunday was going to turn into of her just being all over the TV. But in terms of, like, big brain ideas that bars should do, it was a really good idea.
Yeah, so I had a good time. Let me jump in there. Big news out of the Swiftie camp. Travis Kelce, being a Cleveland boy, and you have two Ohioans on this podcast. What is your knee jerk reaction to that relationship?
There's good songs that can be written about athletes.
Damn, you don't think it's forever, huh?
Do you? They looked like an eighth grade, like, kids who didn't know how to actually hold each other's hands walking out of the stadium.
So, bro, she was doing top tier mother sucking up to in that section. She was cleaning up after. She was jumping around. There's the funniest video is when he scores a touchdown and she's going crazy, and then you just see her look down at the field and go, "Let's fucking go!" Yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
I tried to explain this to Alexis because I think, obviously, you know, women-on-women crime is on the rise and it's terrible in this country, and you should support all women. Lex was making fun of her. And I tried to explain to Alexis, I was like, homegirl, this person's been famous since, like, 12. She doesn't know how to live life. She doesn't know how to cheer at a football. This might be her first football game she's been at since she was 12. Like, for
she's
real.
She's like, goal. And they're like, touchdown.
No, seriously, but this might be the first football game she's been at that she didn't have to perform a halftime show at since she's 12. She doesn't know how to do society. That's why I want to give her a pass on the hand-holding. Plus, they don't want to make it official yet.
They snuck her out in a popcorn bin.
That's not true.
Yeah. That's definitely true. I'm believing it.
For her height, it's not possible.
Oh, because people can't, like...
Yeah, come on, Dylan.
They can't... And for those of you not watching YouTube, I'm, like, ducking.
That's not how I'm getting taken out if I have that much money. Just saying.
Eh. I never thought the day would happen when I'm, like, a Swiftie apologist. I will say, though, I've come in contact now with a lot of the fans. And by contact, I mean I'm seeing their content. Taylor Swift fans are, like, nuts. I almost said idiots. They're not idiots. They're just nutty. Like, why do they care?
Who's nuttier, Swifties or, I don't know what you call them, but Britney Spears defenders?
Swifties.
Yeah.
Britney Spears was like...
Britney's a real movement.
Yeah, Britney Spears was like taken advantage of, like, very obviously in a horrible way for a lot of time. Like, you're allowed to be a little bit crazy about Britney Spears.
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, the person who had the most fallout on that was Britney herself, because if you've seen some of the videos lately...
Lately, as in, like, the last 72 hours?
I didn't see 72 hours. What's going on there?
Let's just say that a lot of people go to places with a buffet, not for the buffet, with what she was trying to do in her living room.
Have you not been following her for the past year, dude?
No, I just thought this most recent one was pretty wild.
Okay, all right.
Are we a pop culture podcast now?
I think we may be based on all of the albums that are our covers now. Glad that we got the Swiftie thing out of the way. Nick, big weekend for soccer, for coaching, I'm assuming?
No, I mean, it's been a torrential downpour for 72 hours here. Manasquan's basically half underwater, right? It's just been nonstop raining. But no, we had two big things this weekend. Had one of the most awkward and weird, bizarre weddings I've ever been to, where all I'll say is the bride at one point said, "God, I can't wait till this is over." Halfway through the reception in a very business-like manner. And then did a bunch of moving and packing because, boys, this is the last ep that you will be seeing this backdrop. I'm finally not going to be moving out of the house here in my own place. So we got a little new background.
He's a big boy now.
Yep, and I say that, and then come May, I'll be right back here anyway. But, you know, winter rentals come to an end.
Love it. No more Brooks Robinson in the background for probably no one listening to this podcast, because no one listening to this podcast is over 65. You mentioned the weather. I do want to ask one thing. I should have asked you this, like, off the pod, because it has nothing to do with anything that we talk about. There's a capsized boat in Manasquan.
What?
I saw this video of the waves being really bad. And, like, something capsized. I didn't know if it was a real thing.
That makes sense. I mean, there's a couple of the inlets here can get pretty... the Manasquan Inlet can get pretty wild, but the Point Pleasant Inlet... Like, do you ever see the inlet that's down in Florida? I'll send it to you guys when we get off, but there's an inlet in Florida that has its, like, own YouTube channel, and it's... We've watched it for hours and hours on end, just some of the stupidity and wildness, and the Point Pleasant Inlet makes this channel, too, because the inlets here can get pretty insane with people doing stupid stuff in stupid weather.
Gotcha.
I believe I'll look, but I mean, I barely ventured out of the house. Today was the first day of the house. Terrible.
It was more of a middle of the night type of thing. It was at the beginning of the hurricane hitting the East Coast over here, and I saw it was like a TikTok. It capsized. Anyway, look, everyone listening, next week, the pop culture and estuary podcast that we're going to be releasing will be a big hit, and you guys can take a listen to all the inlet talk and all the Taylor Swift talk as well. Good mention on the weather. It is getting pretty shitty around here. It is also getting colder. That means one thing in the Premier League. It means that the games are more important. We're deeper into the season, if you want to call match week six deeper in the season, I guess. And, you know, we had a lot of interesting results. But first, as always, for the past 4 weeks, let's start with our dudes of the week. We're going to go Whitaker to Tucker. For this one, I'm going to lead us off. Michael goes second. Dylan, you can go third. Nick, you're the oldest. You can go fourth, get the double pick. And you know where I'm going to go with this one. If Dylan's the Chelsea apologist on the Dude of the Week every once in a while, I'm going to take the screwdriver and twist it, the knife and twist it, however you want to say it. Ollie Watkins, shout out to you, my guy. Shout out to you, my boy. 73rd minute goal, getting the 1-0 win over Chelsea. Talk about throwing gasoline on a fire. You love to see it. And that's all I'm going to say, because we have a ton to talk about Chelsea later. But shout out to Big Ollie. The only people more happy for him than Aston Villa fans were everyone that hates Chelsea and then every other Brentford fan as well, because they still love the guy, as we saw in Philly. Michael, who you got?
I'm sticking with a similar thing you are here. I got the man, Malo Gusto. Perfect VAR decision, absolutely a red 100% of the time. Couldn't have happened to a better team. See you later. Nice loss.
Damn. All right, a little tongue-in-cheek with Michael. Dylan, round one, Dude of the Week.
I didn't think he'd fall to me, but I will be taking... I'm just saying. I'm going to be taking Son. He's been absolutely on fire. I might be taking all Spurs players, to be honest, this entire one, but I don't know, two great finishes, and if he didn't get, I think, a little injured, there'd probably be the hat trick, and we'd be saying a different tune about how that game ended. But I love me some Son. That was bad. I shouldn't have said that.
Worst things have been said on this podcast, mostly by me.
Absolutely.
Nick, pick one. Who you got?
Gotta go with an old man showing respect to old man. Johnny Evans, 200th appearance for United, had a sick header that was actually taken back by VAR, but a legit left-footed, weak-footed assist to Bruno. Obviously, the finish was damn good as well. Why shouldn't we just keep him and put him Maguire in the fucking corner and just leave him there? So, which leads me to the next one. We talk about club loyalty. Jamie Vardy. One, Jamie Vardy, dude of the week, all-time troll this week, all-time troll. Scores a pen for Leicester to win 1-0 and then sprints the entire length of the pitch to troll the Bristol fans. So, yeah, Jamie Vardy, loyalty, knows where his bread is buttered. Sticking with him and the Foxes.
Love it.
He has actually to be, like, top five troll.
Yeah, easily. Shithousery, Jamie Vardy. I actually didn't even realize that Johnny Evans played for United before until you said that, and then I went back and looked. Man, just didn't realize that. Dylan.
First goal in almost a decade for them. We thought he scored.
Dylan, round two.
I'm going with John Champion. If you watched the telecast of Arsenal and Spurs, his commentary, I was laughing for half of that entire match for the way he was just shitting on Romero and his day and how he was having it. And then, I don't know, there was, you know how like British commentary is just so different than what we get here in the States? Like, yeah. It was John Champion. It was masterclass. It was beautiful. It was amazing.
Love it. Love it. Michael, who you got?
I got to go Kieran Trippier. Three assists and an absolute beatdown to Sheffield United. Hasn't looked great start of the season, but that game was pretty wild. To a team that I had said last week wasn't as bad as everyone thought they were.
Yeah, a little disappointed, though. Trippier, when your team scores 8 goals, you don't even get one. You know, people are talking about that. My second round pick, Big Ange. Love him. It's so annoying. Can't hate Tottenham as much as you used to now. I think that he's totally changed the persona and how you view that team, which is pretty annoying because, if I'm being honest, you just love to laugh at the folly that is Tottenham most of the time. He's turning that around. I love that guy. Talks very well. Talks about a lot of topics that I think a lot of coaches are afraid to. So I think he's a cool dude. And then speaking of another coach, an old-time coach, my third round pick, shout out to Lou Holtz, you old piece of shit.
Damn it. Damn it. I was going for it. Fuck.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to treat this podcast just like the Buckeyes treat their team. This is my family. So if Lou Holtz wants to come out here and talk about how Dylan has no toughness and we can't get the job done, we're not going to put out a podcast this week because someone's sick or whatever, you know, we're just going to prove him wrong. So, Lou Holtz, I know it's premature, but rest in peace, you dead bitch. Shout to him. Michael, who you got? Round three.
I just want to, I was, a second in my head, I was thinking, like, first time ever on Dude of the Week, back-to-back, same person. But I just want to say, Lou Holtz, like, the guy who wrote a letter in 2022 to the head coach of Notre Dame basically saying that you're a shit coach. Like, what a piece of shit. I hope you wear diapers. I hope you piss yourself every day. I'm going to go Sam Johnston, goalkeeper. Kept the nil-nil alive for John's portion of the podlay. An absolute great performance. Honorable mention to Bern Leno for that one as well. keeping it consistent with some players here. But I was going Ryan Day and Lou Holtz for my number three. I should have taken him earlier.
Yeah, you didn't know I was going to scoop it right in front of you. Yeah. Scoop it right in front of you. Dylan, round three.
I just wanted on the record, I am not taking someone back-to-back weeks. I am taking shorthanded Pedro Neto. He was phenomenal. And for as shitty as the Wolves were, he was the only bright spot in terms of getting us a point in what could have been a disastrous outing. And he's got the most dangerous, I'm pretty sure, XG or crosses or whatever in the Premier League right now. So shorthanded, Pedro Neto.
Should we actually be shouting out Pedro Neto's agent for not being as good at his job as he should be? Because that guy should have been out of there by now.
No, he's coming back from injury. So we got lucky. Yeah. He's going to be gone after this year. But he, but we got him for one more.
I love it. I love it. Nick, get us out of here. What's the last dude of the week for you?
I think that we deserve a pat on the back. My dude of the week is John Whittaker for correctly selecting Fulham draw under 1.5 goals. I hope you bet it. I hope you took Alexis out to dinner on it. You know, I hope that you enjoyed yourself on that bet. If not, I have a filler for you to take you off dude of the week.
No, I got some money off it for sure.
Attaboy. All right, you can stay. Yeah, you can stay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who's your honorable mention? If you don't mind me asking,
Gillingham, who is second in League Two, yet they have 8 goals for, 8 goals against, somehow second in the league.
Yeah.
Through nine games, I should add, by the way. It's through 9 games, so that's how that works there.
That's crazy. That?
Yeah.
I need some of that sauce.
Yeah. Shout to Gillingham, a team that will forever be tied to Man City lore because we were down in the second division and beat them to be able to come up and then come up again, pause, so then we got the takeover. So Gillingham is always a team that I look back at and like, yeah, I didn't like Man City back then, but thank you for the setup we have now. I have one honorable mention as well. Whoever cut up and like edited that second episode of Welcome to Wrexham this season, that needs to be submitted for an Emmy. I cried. I started crying in the second minute of it, and I stopped crying 20 minutes after it was done. It's not sad. It's like really happy, but they talk about a few of their fans that have autism, and then the striker Paul Mullen's son has autism, and it kind of weaves this story throughout. It's pretty touching, and we can transit on this pod. We are so good at podcasting. We're so adaptable that we can shout out Lou Holtz for his future death in one sentence, and then also have enough, you know, EQ to just understand a beautiful piece of art, which is season 2, episode 2 of Welcome to Wrexham. Guys, dude of the week. Nick, we got one more thing.
I'm going to undo all that beautiful wordplay you just threw out to us there.
Yeah.
Did anybody else pick up on Paul Mullen basically saying he's having marriage issues while talking about his child?
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. And Michael and Dylan, I don't know if you guys have started watching it. Yeah. So it was like... And I feel bad for the man, but it was one of those things where it's like, have you ever talked to your friend and he gives you a detail that you didn't ask for? And you're just like, yeah. Oh, that's something you just need to get off your chest, huh? Like, it was not something I think that they were prying about. He was just like, it's been really hard. By the way, my wife and I have hated each other for the past 3 months.
We're at each other's throats nonstop.
Throats, cuts. Yeah, yeah. It's actually, I think, terminology he used.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, dude, but still, beautiful episode. Yes, and
agreed.
Paul Mullen stayed together for the kid. I think that was a good move. You know, it worked a lot in the 70s with a lot of parents back then. Look, let's dive into the match week. We got games that we're going to fly through. We're going to talk game of the week, Arsenal-Tottenham. We're going to talk about our least favorite club, which is actually might be our favorite club deep down, to be able to chat about Chelsea. There were 8 goals in one game, and then there was an upset that I neglected to even put into the rundown that we have to talk about as well. The race for the bottom just got a team with 3 points, which is rare to see, so we'll talk about that too. But let's fly through the first games. Nick, thank you for the shout-out. First game of the week was Palace-Fulham, 0-0. We called it out. I called it out. You guys rolled your eyes. You guys said I was an idiot for putting this in the pod late. It hit. It was big time. Palace at home. Not as good as it was last year, maybe. Fulham, No striking ability. Dylan knows about it. Jimenez up front, but a 0-0 game there. Luton won. Wolves won. Morris with the pen for Luton was in the 65th minute, but Pedro Neto had the goal right before that in the 50th. Neto, honestly, as we just mentioned before, trying to put the team on his back, a la Greg Jennings. Man City 2, Nottingham Forest 0. Phil Foden in the 7th, Haaland in the 14th, and then a red card with Rodri quite literally doing a WWE move on Morgan Gibbs-White, I believe, got him out of there, and City did not score again in the second half, but 3 points to City. Burnley 0, Manchester United 1, the Bruno Fernandes goal in the 48th minute with the assist from Johnny Evans that we also mentioned right before this, give Manchester United all 3 points in a game that I'm sure for your confidence, Nick, you wanted to make sure you won. Brighton 3, Bournemouth 1. Dom Solanke opened the scoring in this game, giving Bournemouth an early 1-0 lead. This game played out, I think, how a lot of Bournemouth games are. They don't look bad. They actually do some good stuff. They take a lead, but they just cannot hold on to it. There was an own goal right before half to tie it up, and then Matoma, right after the half started in the 46th minute, takes the lead, and then again in the 77th, 3-1 for Brighton. Liverpool 3, West Ham 1. Mo Salah with the pen in the 16th minute is tied up by Bowen in the 42nd, but Darwin Nunez in the 60th minute and Jota in the 85th give Liverpool all 3 points. All right, guys, there's 6 games there. We don't really need to dive into the Palace Fulham. I think that every take that we've had the last couple weeks just played out in that game, right? Fulham can't score. They're not as good as they were last year. Palace is not going to lose. I don't think they're going to lose many games to these mid teams that are just like them. I think they're going to have a lot of draws this season. And, you know, just happened that way. Anyone want to add there?
The fact that we had a bet on 0-0, I refused to watch it. I couldn't put myself through it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's all we had there. Dylan, since you jumped in first there, let's also have you jump in here with your own team. A goal from Neto in the 50th minute while being a man down. Obviously, I want to hear about your thoughts on Bellegarde. I don't know if that's how you say it, but we mentioned it the weekend we were staying together and hanging out. He gets the red card. What was this game like watching? Is Luton actually a low-key wagon? Should we be worried about Luton?
The three of you, probably not. However, one, we're very lucky to have come out of that game with a point. We looked like absolute garbage. Like, I think we went in there expecting... I think we were the Dallas Cowboys where you thought you were playing the Cardinals and you were just going to walk in and get whatever win you were looking for, and we came out flat. I think Luton at home against teams that are at the bottom of the table is going to be a problem. Like, I think... Again, I think it's different on the road, but I only saw part of when Chelsea went there. But watching this full game, like, it's not wrong. It's loud. It's small. Like, it's just a completely different environment that if Luton comes out strong to begin, it, I think, throws the away players off. And for some of the teams, i.e. the Wolves and some other teams that aren't as good or are having some confidence issues, they will definitely be a problem. I still think they get relegated, but I think them at home, they're going to steal some that they shouldn't.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys follow this podcast called The Lads Podcast. He actually has a pretty big following. It's based here in New York. But I got one of my questions on, or one of my hot takes on there, and I said what I've been saying this whole time, that the bottom three this season will have the least amount of points ever. And I got 80% people to agree with me. I do think they're still going to go down. I think you're absolutely right. If you're getting 3 points at Luton and you are Wolves and you are Everton or Sheffield United, or, I mean, honestly, Burnley at this point, we got to see him play well against a team that they're equal to. Nottingham Forest, we think, is probably the best of that bunch that I just mentioned, but that's going to be a tough game for them too. That'll probably be one of the tougher games on the schedule, and it's just ironic that I do think Luton is still the worst team in the league, right?
Well, I mean, we did have to do a handball to let them score. Like, I don't think they actually would have scored if we didn't fuck up. So, but we didn't deserve to win that game. in every facet because we get dumb. We got rid of one midfielder, gave him to you, who's now apparently a superstar, and then we brought in another one who looked good and then decided that he wanted to get a dumb red card. So, yeah, might as well get it when we play you next. We're playing chess.
Exactly. Speaking of playing City, a 2-0 win for the Sky Blues. Look, I do want to get... I don't know if you guys got to watch this game. I do want to get your take. That red card by Rodri was absolutely uncalled for and was ridiculous. I want that on the record. I don't want anyone to think that I don't think that.
Ridiculous in the giving of it or him doing it?
Him doing it, yeah. Okay. Like, if my club and the people that run it aren't going to be on the right side of history, I at least will. I got to pick that torch up. Wild. Wild to... All right, Michael, relax. I mean, you guys just give all your money to charity and don't buy anyone. I get it. I just thought it was wild. It was just stupid. Just dumb. Like, it was a Deshaun Watson-esque play in the middle of a soccer game. Just made no sense.
Don't get me started.
low ball IQ. Low ball IQ on that one.
I'd be careful normally, talking about Deshaun Watson and balls, man.
And having... Yeah, true. Very good point. We're not rubbing them, though. Look, Rodri just...
Our mothers listen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're proud of how quick we are. Rodri just usually is one of the smarter guys on the field, and this was just a miss. It was a mess. Phil Foden looked great. I'm glad that he's getting a ton of run. Grealish is getting back into the squad. Doku still looks really, really good. Julian Alvarez still looks really, really good. And I think that we're still playing, and Haaland's only playing decent. He's not even playing that well right now. So, look, I'm not going to shy away from it. We're head and shoulders above everyone else right now, and I don't know if that's going to change. So, that's the Manchester City report. Anyone got any takes there?
Nick's wearing a Man City jersey right now.
What?
You don't get the joke? All right, don't worry about it.
It's all right. Tune in on YouTube and you can see it. Michael, do you have anything to say?
Just Rodri did a Casemiro.
Yeah.
That's all really. It's just a Manchester thing, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think you guys don't have De Bruyne. Like, I'm trying to think of your injuries. You don't have Stones, you don't have De Bruyne, you don't have Grealish. There's two others, I know. You don't have Kovacic, who was, like, starting at the beginning of the season, and then somebody else. I have a little bit of an injury argument that we can get into a little bit later.
Well, don't worry about it, because we're going to transition to a full Manchester City podcast now, and every IG will be about every injury. I mean, every team has injuries. We're going to get into one right now, Manchester United. But first... Since we're on the topic of Man City, if you guys remember back in the summer, we did a Man City preview with a man named Crunk Chocolate. I'm actually going to be on his lit stream for the Shades of Blue podcast this Thursday. We'll post something. Check that out. We're going to talk about the best and worst jerseys this season, a few other things, the Champions League, whatnot. So that'll be Thursday night thing. If you're able to listen, please do. Shameless plug over. Manchester United, let's get into it. Burnley, the travel to Burnley. This was at Turf Moor. Bruno with the goal. Johnny Evans played really, really well. I almost said Johnny Fernandez. Johnny Evans played really, really well with the assist. Nick, give us the rundown on your squad.
Turf Moor's never easy to play at, and obviously we're not playing well. I've completely, in 7 days, had a complete renaissance of how I'm thinking about this, where I'm no longer in panic mode. It's let's just figure it out and get the job done. You know what? Maybe last week I'd be freaking out about 1-0, where Burnley definitely had some really great points of possession. But we're just gonna have to grind it out. I'm not gonna complain about injuries like someone on the other side of the city, you know, or people down the southern part of the country. We're just gonna figure it out and get the job done, because you know we're Manchester freaking United.
This is Manchester United.
Yeah, something like that. Johnny Evans was... I think I texted you guys. I was like, well, this looks like a draw. And I think John responded with, this looks like a loss. Or something like that when I sent the lineup over. Which I very easily could see. But Johnny Evans was a nice surprise. Bruno's Bruno. Hannibal was awesome. like really excited for him to finally get some run because we've been hearing about him for years. Marcus Rashford's a little scary to me right now. Like, he needs to put a ball in the back of the net because he's super wasteful. He's either shooting when he shouldn't shoot or he's trying to get too cute and play Hoyland in sometimes when he shouldn't be really. He seems to be really kind of just back to where he was two seasons ago, banging his head against concrete. And this is the first time I've gotten to see Hoyland play really the whole game, and I love this dude. He just works his ass off. I think he gets in some really great positions. You know, if he puts up 10 goals, 12 goals this year, I'm pretty pumped up. You know, and I think we found some, I don't know if this is the striker of the next 10 years, but he's definitely someone that can be solid for us over the next few seasons and help us grow. And now I'm just kind of curious if we end up actually buying, seeing all the rumors with, what's his name from Atleti? Why am I forgetting the goalkeeper? Jan Oblak. It apparently is. They've been in conversation for a January move now. That's like the whole thing the last 24 hours, which is kind of wild to me. But overall, it's a win. I think we just got to take them how we can get them until we get a full squad back at this point.
Michael, before I feel like you're fiending to jump in, but before you do, can I ask you guys are both goalkeepers. Can I ask like a weird question? I feel like, I don't know. Nick, wouldn't you think it's just such a waste of money to buy a goalkeeper 2 months ago and then buy another one in the winter? Like, how did they not know this was going to happen? Or how? Like, why is this happening? Why can't Onana be any good?
I saw all the stuff going on today, and I just go, dear Lord, we're turning into Chelsea, and I started to have a panic attack. I think Onana's just pressing, you know, seven out of the 10 goals, or seven goals on 10 shots. Like, more times than not, goals are, the keeper doesn't have a lot of a chance to, I'd say, I mean, this is a completely arbitrary number, but at least half goals that you concede, you have nothing you can do about it. You know, there's not much you can do. Hopefully he'll settle in. The defense has been atrocious at the same time. They've been really poor, and I'd have to check the stats on this because I don't know, but I want to say he's had the same center back pairing in what, this is the sixth week in what, 9 games? He's probably had the same center back pairing twice, maybe 3 games. So it's been pretty disjointed. Even back 4 has been really disjointed. So he's been put in some bad spots. He's also fucked up a lot, don't get me wrong. Yeah. And I'm just going to rely on history, as the history teacher I am, that De Gea was pretty poor his first 4 to 5 months, and Rio Ferdinand said, who the fuck are you and what are you fucking doing? To paraphrase his first few months, and that obviously turned out well for us. So,
yeah.
Can I ask a goalie question?
And obviously, yeah, real quick, Scott McTominay would be Rio Ferdinand in this instance, obviously.
Yes, definitely. Dylan, you mean striker Scott McTominay? Yes.
Yeah, big time.
What's up with, like, because this is the reason that we got put in the position that we did in the Wolves game, and I noticed it also kind of happened in the North London Derby, and then also with Onana not playing his best. What's with the goalies making saves and then immediately wanting to get rid of the ball, trying to like get some type of penalty of having someone like, you know, interfere, like get goalkeeper interference, and then they don't get in, it just leads to a dumb turnover. I feel like it's happening more this year than in the past, and I just don't get it.
Because goalies are, at their core, they're idiots. The farther they get away from the goal line, the dumber they become.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying, I've been noticing it more, and it's annoying me, is all.
You can blame Lewis Karius, it's his fault, because everyone thinks they want that Kareem Benzema moment.
Yeah.
Well, to get to your goalie thing, Nick, I'm obviously a goalie apologist. I have been forever since I've been on this pod. If, for example, the 2 goals that Raya gave up in the North London Derby, not his fault. I mean, the first one was like he couldn't do anything about it. The other one was like a breakaway. It is like there are obviously like some mistakes that you accept. Like, we accept when Ederson makes a mistake because, like, the upside of that is so great. We accept when Alisson makes a mistake because the upside of that is so great. One, Onana has not had a performance so far, and he's only been there, you know, however many games, that has, like, allowed him to have a bad game. So that people go, okay, no, no problem. Like, the upside is still so good. Some of those saves, or like lack of save, is crazy. And I think also when you come in and you, I don't know if he did on purpose, but you so clearly like get the fans behind you because you fucking scream at Harry Maguire. Like, you gotta back it up a little bit immediately. And like, he, like, not saying he's a bad keeper. I don't think he is. He does make some dumb mistakes, and he has in the past as well, like with other teams, but you gotta have a run of performances that are good before people like give you the benefit of the doubt. And the Oblak thing is not going to help. Like, if I saw that this morning and I was like, that's crazy. Like, I think that's ridiculous that you would even try to do that, because you clearly want to transition to a ball playing goalkeeper. And I don't think Oblak is that. I think Oblak's a great stopper.
Yeah.
But like, you're reverting. Like, you got a guy who's supposed to be the guy. He's fucking up a little bit. And now it's almost like you're saying, no, we don't want to do that now. We want to go back to where we were. And that's just a lack of progression.
It's very British. It's very 2023, where like, you're not letting something work the process out. Like, give him the season. Like, if he's bad all season, like, well, that sucks. But like, it's a new adjustment. Like, dude, like Milan, everything you say, I agree with Michael. But like, you know, playing in Inter Milan and is not the same as playing in England. It's not the same pressure. It's really not. And hopefully he starts to come good soon, because we need it. Because there's definitely, with the defense we have, there's going to be moments where, I mean, look at De Gea the last 10 years. How many he was player of the year 3 out of 4 years in a row. Like, at one point, like, if that's your player of the year,
free agent.
Yeah. Which he's going to retire, which is insane. But also his wife makes all the buku bucks being the pop star that she is, you know, so.
Yeah. If you guys are looking for a play out the back type goalkeeper, can't wait for the first start of Zach Steffen at Manchester United. Dylan, also, just to answer your question with not a, you know, just a different answer, I think that there's so much emphasis now on counterattacks that I think that is like why you get the goalie running up and then trying to find like the one man who broke to the middle or the outside that's all alone. And I agree with you. It never works out that way. Michael, we got Liverpool 3-1. I feel like West Ham has been a bogey team for you guys in the past a bit. I could be wrong on that, but for some reason it just popped in my head, you know, maybe. So give us your breakdown before we hit the last one and go into the big games.
I think this was still Joe Gomez at right back, no Trent, which is big for us. Joel Matip still at center back again. That's like a Konate's just better at this point. I think Curtis Jones is playing incredibly well. He's basically playing himself into that team regularly now. Gravenberch came on for a little bit. The Salah Nunez partnership, again, like, Klopp finally said something about it this week. Nunez just fucking works. Like, he just runs, he presses, he does all the defensive stuff. It's turning into, like, you know, that chemistry that you see, and like that goal that he had was fucking sick too, after he missed like literally an open goal like 2 minutes before that. But you know, it's just gonna happen. Glad to see McAllister got an assist. I thought he's been a little bit shaky in the midfield, but yeah, I think West Ham is actually good. The Bowen goal was really nice. I don't think there's like a ton you could do when someone just like sacrifices themselves low like that to get that ball in. But I'm glad we kind of, at 1-1, I'm glad we kind of took the reins back and started making chances again, because last year I could have seen us giving up another goal, trying to press real hard, and then going down 3-1. So I thought it was a really good performance, and I think the one thing is, every single game I've seen him play, he's been outrageous, and I'm more and more impressed with him. I think Szoboszlai is going to be a monster.
Yeah, the consensus at my Notre Dame Ohio State barbecue this weekend from our good friend of the pod, Ian, was he just likes watching him. He was like, when he's on the TV, he just smiles. He's like, he's great. And then he had some bangers for Hungary over the international break here as well. Real quick, before we dive into the other ones, Brighton 3, Bournemouth 1, Batoma with 2 goals with the brace. That's pretty big. But, again, we've talked about both these teams ad nauseum. We think Brighton's really good. I want to ask real quick on the rundown how good. We also think Bournemouth's not bad. I feel like the schedule's been pretty tough here at the beginning, but they got to be pretty proud of how the team's played. So, look, Brighton right now sits in third. They're in the Champions League spots. They had a real shaky first game in Europe last week, but I think that was kind of more of a nerves thing than anything else. Nick, are they staying in top four? Are the Seagulls for real? And then we'll go to Dylan and Michael.
Do I think they're for real? Absolutely. Do I think that they finish top four? I think that depends on the depth of their run in the Europa League, because clearly there was definitely that first half was definitely a little bit of shaky leg syndrome. You know, it's kind of the Saturday morning blues, we like to call it, when we play our high school games when kids aren't able to wake up for a 10 a.m. game and they put on a show the second half. So seeing them bounce, you almost want to play. You would prefer to play them coming off of Europa League week, just because you're not, because the depth might not be there, or the just your legs are not used to being that heavy. So finding a way, I think a better team can take better advantage than that. So depending on their depth and how far they or depending on how far they go in Europe, I think will definitely have a significant impact on where they finish. They will finish top six without a doubt. Depends where they finish.
Dylan?
I think this was a prototypical Brighton game. Like, they're... I think they had, to Nick's point, a European hangover for whatever the hell that game was midweek of, like, having a sloppy defense. But then, like, they know what they're supposed to do. They know what their role is. And once they... I guess it's more this. If you're going to beat Brighton, you can't let them see the ball go into the net once. Because if they do that, they're going to just keep attacking and keep moving forward. And I think, at least at the moment, like, they deserve to be where they are on the table.
Yeah. Michael?
The thing with Brighton is there's, I don't know what he, I think he's just, like, way smarter than us, which, no shit. They just play so many different people, like, so frequently. Like, Buonanotte just started this game. Welbeck's in the cam position. Adingra's on the left side. Ferguson's got to start. That's probably, like, who your actual striker is. But, like, they come off the bench. Ansu Fati, Matoma, Pedro. And, like, why? You're kind of like, why isn't Matoma just playing? He's, like, your best player, like, one of them for sure. But I just think De Zerbi, I think he really likes just guys getting time and not getting time 10 minutes left in the game. He's like, you're going to start today. We're going to see what you can do. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but I think they have so many players that can just, like, shuffle in that they're going to win games. They're going to, you know, finish, you know, high up the table. They're going to win the games they should, obviously. Not a team that I would ever want to take a player prop on because, like, I don't know who's going to start, like, for sure. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think top four is for sure possible. I think top six for, like, 100%.
Yeah, De Zerbi's rotation, very, very good. I was just even looking at the past few games. Not many substitutions, to your point, after the 85th minute. A lot of them will get 20 minutes a run, 25 minutes a run, and the rotation's really, really good. Take a look at this strategery. We're going to shock and awe with these two games. That was a reference that probably Nick only got. Brentford 1, Everton 3, Decore with the goal in the 6th minute, Matthias Jensen tied it up. Everton had the lead in this, which is wild. And then they win it. Tarkowski in the 67th, and then Calvert-Lewin in the 71st. And then the awe, a Sheffield United 0, Newcastle United 8. A touchdown and a two-point conversion. Longstaff, Byrne, Botman, Wilson, Gordon, Almiron, Guimaraes, Isak. No repeat scores for Newcastle, which is probably even more impressive. Let's go back to Brentford first. Look, man, they were holding on beginning of the season without that striker, without Ivan Toney, but giving up 3 goals to an Everton team who have Beto starting up front and not even DCL is interesting. I know DCL scored in the 71st, but that back line for Brentford not really playing very well together. Michael, is Brentford in trouble? Do we need to be ringing an alarm bell? And then after Michael, let's go to Dylan, because you got the only friend here that's an Everton fan.
I think this is a little concerning, just because I don't think Everton are, you know, very good at all. But I also think, like, how Brentford play, like, this is not complimentary to how they want to play on the break and stuff, like having to like break down 4-4-1-1 or whatever this was. That being said, I mean, Everton still, what was their XG was 1.90. That's really good. Scored three. That's mm-hmm. the first time they've exceeded their XG probably in a long ass time. Mm-hmm. I just don't see them being consistent, and I think it's gonna come down to them or Burnley. If I'm going off of just this first like five or six games, them or Burnley, who is gonna be like that last team, and I trust company with zero Premier League experience as a coach, at least, than Sean Dyche. Like, I don't know.
All right. Well, Dylan, I know Hank's got a kid. You probably don't talk to him as much, but did he have anything for you after getting the team's first win?
You're going to play the curb music and probably clip this with what I'm about to say. I think DCL just need to see it go in. I think he might go back on a run. Like, I think Everton has their striker, and they are going to probably be dangerous in terms of maybe coming in 15th or 16th. But, like, I think between Beto is in the right places. He's allergic to the net right now, like, in terms of half the time shooting it to the right and it looking terrible. But eventually him and DCL are going to be on the field at the same time, and I think that actually might be something that is a positive for Everton. So I'm sure Michael's about to stuff me in a locker with his hand raised, but I don't know. I think Everton's still going to have Everton games, but I think this makes them a little bit more dangerous moving forward. And I'm happy I got them out of the way with 3 points.
Michael, you had your hand raised.
I'm not going to stuff you in a locker statistically or anything like that. I'm just going to put a bold prediction. Calvert-Lewin is hurt within the next 4 or 5 games. And he doesn't score more than what, like, he has one, right? That's his first goal this year. He doesn't get over 5.
Michael loves the downfall of an Evertonian. Loves it. Nick, we didn't go to you there, but 8 goals. You've been on the receiving end of a lot of 8-goal games. How do you think the Sheffield United teams are feeling?
Well, I guess that shock and awe is more of, aw. You know, we feel sorry for you. Yeah.
Sorry, Nick.
Wait,
sorry,
8. Nick. 8.
No, I was...
8. Come on, it was 6, guy. Like, I know I'm not a math major, but...
7. No, someone hit 7? You for 8, I'm pretty sure.
No.
I think I saw it right. Also, shock and awe was in reference to invading the wrong country by Bush. Go ahead, Nick.
You could also, yeah, I mean, no, I got that one, but I was just trying to sympathize a little bit here. First off, I just want to call myself out for if anyone followed me when I said, dude, hammer Brentford right now. Because I took the losses on that one, so thankfully you didn't. But anyway, to this point, they were talking about the broadcast, like, they've been pretty solid defensively. You know, if you look through their form through the season, you know, I mean, 2 goals to Tottenham, 2 goals to Everton. You know, they really haven't been getting blown out. They've been playing decent, and then just out of nowhere, just to give up to lay a snowman. This is what sucks, but I think the next few weeks will set the tone for the rest of the season for them. Because if you can bounce back, you'll be fine. You know, or at least you'll be there, give yourself a chance. This could very easily snowball into, like, losing 10 or 12 in a row and it not being good for them. Also, kudos to Newcastle, because that was really impressive. And VAR handball, you know, obviously Anthony Gordon thinks he's a basketball player now. Sorry.
You're good.
Talk about me fighting through being sick, you know. Fighting through being sick a little bit here. Maybe Newcastle's good on weeks that they don't play in Europe. Or they do play in Europe. I don't know. Maybe they just get a little I don't know. I honestly didn't get to watch the game, so I just kind of listened to it on the radio a little bit when I was driving around. We did a lot of moving yesterday, so missed out on a little bit of the watches. So.
All good. I mean, the Premier League teams were actually wholly underwhelming in Europe this past week. But, yeah, I think the most impressive part, too, is 8 goals, 8 different players. Not like Sheffield United had a red card. Like, it's full. It was 11-on-11 the whole time. So,
Michael Trippier, too. Had, what, 3 assists?
3 assists. 3 assists. Michael, get the last point, and then we'll go into our next game.
Yeah, Nick, apologies. It was 7. We didn't want to go for 2 on you guys. We kicked the extra point like a good sport. I think the last time it was 8. It's happened the first time in the Premier League, 1992. Liverpool beat I want to say it was Blackburn like 9-0, and it was 8 different scores. Stevie Nicol had 2 goals.
Shout out to Stevie Nicol.
I thought it was when we beat Ipswich was the first time 9 got put up in league.
No, I'm not saying 9. I'm saying 8 different scores.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I heard wrong.
All right, let's get into what everyone has their claws out for, and you know, in the cartoons when they're putting the napkin around their neck. Chelsea 0, Aston Villa 1. Ollie Watkins with the lone goal this game for Villa gets him the win. 73rd minute, like I mentioned before. Malagusto had a red card in the 58th. It was controversial. It didn't, in my eyes, really look like a red card that bad. Every Chelsea whatever will tell you they looked really, really good this game. They had some chances. I love them. Raz, go somewhere else, buddy. It didn't work out. It's not working out here. It didn't work out. And then I had 2 other things, and I'll send it to you guys because I feel like I wax unpoetically about Chelsea every week, and people are probably tired of hearing me. One, whoever is telling Poch what to wear, you need to be fired right now. Double-breasted on the sideline with that body type doesn't work. Trust me, I've done it, all right? You got to be more of a triangle. Shoulders got to be bigger. Waist got to be smaller. You look awful, and the blues don't even match. Plus, you paired it with orthopedics on the feet. Straight black orthopedics with a 2-colored blue top, double-breasted. You look like shit. And then the one thing I will say to add to this is on TikTok, I was interacting with a creator who has a lot more followers than we do, but her name is Melina Dadovich. I definitely got that last name wrong, so I apologize to her if she ever hears this. She's got really, really great content. She's a big Chelsea fan. And I posed the question that we said last week. I said, yo, I'm not trying to be a troll. I really want to know your take. Would you rather be Chelsea or Man United in this very moment? It was before the match week started. And she said Chelsea, because she said at least they're built for the future and they have a plan with younger players. I don't think anyone on this podcast agrees with that, but I wanted to throw that out there because it's a take that I have not really heard. In all honesty. So, I know that Dylan's really respectful and nice, and I know that Michael really, really wants to go. So, let's go to Michael first.
I want to just real quick on that. I think just because you have young players does not mean you're set up for the future. I think we all understand that.
There's a plan to a degree. Is there? Kind of more of what... Well, I would question that too, but if I'm going to question that, I would invite her on and be like, hey, like, we're not going to attack you, I promise. It may sound like it based on listening to this segment, but like, what plan? I don't know, man. But go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I just, you know, they miss on like almost every transfer, it seems like, except for like, I would maybe say Enzo Fernandez. That being said, Chelsea, now officially with that Everton win, tied on points for the worst team in the Premier League in 2023. The 2023 table, they've played 29 games. They have 25 points. Everton, 25 points from 27 games. So Everton can actually make up. They have 2 games in hand. They can make up some more points on that. Just wanted to go through some more stuff here. Lukaku, 3 goals in September. Chelsea don't have any. If they don't score against Brighton this EFL Cup, they will not have a goal for a goal of the month for the second time in a calendar year, by the way. Let me just put that out there. I think I sent this. Jesus. Okay.
It's all the same points. Can't...
Well, I mean, they're everywhere. They're literally everywhere. John, I think I sent you this one. They haven't beat a top 15 team since Spurs two seasons ago. They haven't beat a team that had existed in the top 15 at the time of them playing. That is crazy. And then I want to just get to this point, too, because we have a Man City person here. We have a Manchester United person here. I have been plagued with injuries as a Liverpool person. Chelsea, according to Fop Mob, not 9 injuries. I would argue 3 of them are maybe in your top 11, your first 11. Manchester United have 8. And I'm counting Amrabat too, because he played what, a minute? Like, yeah. He just got back from injury. I would argue 4 of your players are in your first 11. And then John, I looked at yours, 5 players injured. I would make the argument that maybe all 5 of those players are in your first 11. So I don't know where Chelsea think that when these injuries come back, they're just going to take the league by storm. You are fucking delusional if you think that. You guys are 12 down. You have no shot ever being in the top 10. You are a mid-table ass team, maybe a bottom team. You're not going to get relegated, but your year's going to suck again like it did last year. I hope you're ready for that because I can't fucking wait.
Two other quick points. One, I think Erling Haaland has more goals than they do for this calendar year as well. I think he's at like good. 54 and they're at 53. And not to shout him out, but to call out just how... Teams.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, anyway. But to kind of call it out again, because I just think it's bad content. It just isn't good. The London is Blue podcast again put out the injured 11 and said, where would this team finish? And I wanted to respond, 18th. 18th. You got that team gets relegated.
I don't know based on what they have seen from any of these guys, what makes them think that they're going to like move the needle. I will give you Nkunku. I think Nkunku is a great player. He is not a striker. He's a winger. He's not like an out-and-out goal scorer. Nicholas Jackson, he can't... I mean, the clip of him hitting a 300% bigger goal, which would have made his shot go in that, like, TikTok, that's every shot he takes.
It's Alexi Lalas right there for you.
That's Timo Werner 2.0. Yeah.
It's so insane, like, how... They constantly move the goalpost of like their expectations and how like, well, we'll be okay because like at this point we'll get this guy back and like, you know, whatever. Yeah. Half their people are fucking defenders. They can only play 2 center backs. Like, I don't know what they're thinking about doing.
But the defenders are the best scorers.
That's actually a good point.
Does anyone realize that ultimately it's clearly a culture issue? Because whenever people leave Chelsea on transfer, they tend to be better. So, like, yeah. it's something that clearly has gone regime to regime, because this was also an issue before Boehly came, in my opinion. But, like...
For sure.
I don't know. Yeah. And it's all... Well, and also it's the part where... I think some people on this podcast don't think Poch is, like, an amazing coach. Like, I don't think he's the worst coach, but I don't think he's where he was with Tottenham. But the other thing is, like, I think he's someone who needs time to rebuild this, and I don't think he's going to get it, which is just going to put them countlessly in their loop. So, like, they either need to bite the bullet and fight through all of this, and they might actually make it through the other side. The real thing to watch out is, do they actually have the patience to do this? Because if not, we're going to have this conversation for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. I think, Dylan, that's a really good point with it being culturally – because she was nice enough to give me her take, and I want to respect it, and like I would love to actually have her on and be like, yo, like, talk us through this. But I do think that the well has been poisoned there to an extent. It has to have been. And again, to your point, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I know that I'm going to see someone post Poch out this week. And then next week, and we've said this the whole time, what's important about this Chelsea team this season and getting the system going, I know he's only had 5 games, and getting these players going, is their first 7 games, for Chelsea were winnable, or they were teams that they should be competing with, or should be beating, in our opinion, obviously. And the next seven are much harder. And if they don't have it figured out by then, man, but it's going to be tough.
But they might not have it figured out, but like, I feel like Arsenal is a great example of this. Maybe not to an extent of like the toxic part, but like when Arteta started, like think what, 3-4 years ago, they were bad. Like we were making jokes about Arsenal the entire time.
But they were eighth.
In a similar spot, they had, what?
But they finished eighth.
No, like, I get that. But like there was, but let's put it this way, because they could be, what, they're 14th now? Like, they could finish 8th by the time this season's done. But, like, in what I'm referencing, they were awful to start the year. They were young. They actually fought through it, and they eventually started to show some progression. And then the next year kind of was the same because, again, you're working through some working, like, some growing pains. And then now look where they are. I just don't know if Chelsea will have the same patience. And that's where I'd be worried if I was a Chelsea fan, is that they aren't going to sit through and live through.
I think, to Dylan, to your point, like Kroenke and Arteta had to wade through Arteta out for a year and a half at the very least, maybe two.
Correct.
And that's how they did it. Michael.
So just you guys talking about their next games, they have Brighton in the cup. I don't think they're, I've seen multiple Chelsea fans just be like, we don't care about that. It's like, okay, cool. Don't care about the EFL cup, whatever. Fine. You haven't been close to winning anything. Wouldn't it be nice to just like win a game? Fulham away, Burnley away. Okay, and then those are the next two. And then you go home against Arsenal, home against Brentford, which maybe that's how Brentford are playing right now. That might be a win for you. Away to Spurs, home against City, away to Newcastle, home against Brighton, away to United. Okay? You're not winning any of those. Mm-mm. You have no shot. You think 5 points?
I think the line for the bold take here is I want 4.5 points over under through December 9th, which includes
through Everton. December 9th.
I'm pretty sure includes I said Everton. Zero
because we decided, I can't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, we kind of decided December 9th, the Everton game kind of tended to be the cutoff, we all agreed. I think 4.5 points is the line. And I want to know over or under right now. Gun to your head.
No. So over or if under. If you're saying from now till December 9th, that's 10 games.
Yes. Okay? 4.5 points.
I think that's too low. I think it's over. But I think 7 points is like unacceptable.
I agree with that.
So I would say like that run of games that you're talking about from like the Arsenal game to the United game, I would say like 4.5 is good for that. But like they could beat Fulham, they could beat Burnley. I don't think they will necessarily, but they could do that. If you said like 6.5, 7.5, that would be a tough pick. All right.
So let's go with 7.5 then. Let's take it. Let's go 7.5.
I'll go under. I'll go under for sure.
I would go under only for the fact that if I see them not getting out of this rut against Fulham, not the tip picks for later, but like they need to win these next two games to have any type of confidence to go into that schedule. And when that doesn't happen, right, and they already are like, oh no, we've scored 0 goals in a month, like we're not putting up any points, all that type of stuff, that doesn't spell, okay, I feel confident, and I don't know if where they're away and home, but like that's not confident going into, I have to go play Arsenal, I have to go play Liverpool. Speaking of which, Arsenal's already has two ties that they shouldn't have at this point, so you don't think that they're going to, you know, that's a must-win for them in terms of what their actual aspirations are and all this type of stuff. Like, ultimately, I feel really bad for the guys that I was told to stop having fun banter with when we were in Philly that told me they were going to come in second and then also asked where I finished on the table, and I said one spot behind you because it's going to end up being so I don't know if that guy took our sticker or not, but I feel bad for him.
Yeah. I have two quick points I'd like to add on here. One, in response to the United versus Chelsea thing, I mean, we all have a car, right? It all has parts. It all works. But the person driving the car is just as important as the actual vehicle.
Always at the wheel.
Yes, exactly. So I think that, talk about the culture and everything, if you can't get a young core organized and built up and actually in the right mindset, which Arteta, as you watch in All or Nothing, they might not have been good, but that dude had a goal, and he just railed on it every day. This is what we're doing, this is what we're doing, and it's obviously paid off. Chelsea doesn't have that, so that stuff could blow up in their face.
And see, then, I think Poch can do that, though.
But I don't think, as you said,
I don't think the Chelsea management culture, will allow him. Right. But
and then my second point is, I would like to be a little bit positive here, because you know we've been kind of on the negative train the last 5 to 7 minutes. There is a winner in all this. I hope you guys know that, right? Do you know who the winner is in all this?
The NAFTA podcast.
Well, always, duh, winners win. But Three Telecom is the winner in all this.
Because they're not the sponsor anymore?
Because there's no sponsorship. They don't have to have their, every time they're getting lost, every time that all this negative press comes in, there's no T-Mobile's going nuts, you know, obviously with Bayern. There's none of that negative publicity, and you're just a walking billboard of negativity. Three Telecom, whatever you did to get out of your contract, my hat's off to you.
Yeah.
Which comes shout first, out. A Chelsea goal or a sponsor on the kit?
Sponsor on the kit.
Well, to refer to Michael, he said all the points he took with the goal. It wasn't that the one you said, like, the goal of the month is going to have to come from the training facility or something like that?
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be like watching the Mudrick highlights, best goals of. One last thing before we go into North London Derby as the game of the week. It is just serendipitous and chef's kiss for how my takes usually go on this pod, that if we're being honest, like, Malo Gusto, one of the better players on this team, actually plays pretty well, and I just clowned him for the first like week and in that preview. So I apologize, Malo Gusto. You've actually been playing pretty well. Was not familiar with your game. Arsenal 2, Tottenham 2, North London Derby. Romero with an own goal in the 26th minute gave Arsenal a lead. Son clips a goal in the 42nd to tie it up. Saka with a 54th minute pen. And then honestly, like it's a fast break, Tottenham score a minute later in the 55th to tie it up. No goals after that. I think the general consensus here is Arsenal did not look as good. Spurs looked decent. Not great, but decent. Madison had the two assists to both Son goals. And the midfield itself for Arsenal didn't play well. And it looks like Declan Rice might be out for a couple weeks, is the last I heard as well. Nick, I haven't started with you on any of these segments. I apologize. Do you got the initial thoughts here for the North London Derby between Arteta and Postecoglou?
One, thank you for teaching me how to pronounce Ange's last name, because I didn't know how to do it, so I was just calling him Coach Ange. I mean, it was pretty much everything we thought it would be, which was pretty exciting. Two top teams at top of the league playing really, really well. And clearly the moment wasn't too big for either of them. They went at each other. I thought when the PK happened and then Son comes down, boom, right away, goal again. I'm like, dude, this is going to end up 4-4 or 5-4. I'm like, this is going to be electric. But that buzz was there when, as much as you say, we bust Spurs' chops or whatever and all these things, like, seeing matches like that is why we're here. You know, it's reasons why we love this game. We love this league, period. Just an exciting, exciting match that early in the season. I don't think any other sport provides you with that, really. It was just exciting, honestly. I was watching on and off just because we were moving a lot of stuff in and out of the house. But when I was watching and listening, it was just exciting, and that's all I can really take away from it. The tactic, all those things, I'll leave it to you guys, because you know I wasn't consistently viewing it, but it was as advertised, which is what we love to see. And a draw just keeps it 1 point each, which keeps Man United's top four hopes alive.
True, Michael, what do you got?
I think obviously Declan Rice going out halftime, not good, like plays badly to Arsenal's system, Arteta's system, like what he wants to do. I'm been told Arteta's a genius. I've been told he's the mind child of Pep Guardiola. I don't know on earth what Kai Havertz does. I mean, taking out Vieira, I don't know if he was hurt too, and putting Kai Havertz in was worse. I mean, just straight up, like I don't know what purpose he serves. The thing that I guess I would be concerned about with Arsenal is, you know, if you're looking at the stats, XG 203 to 1.46, 1.25 of that is, or sorry, a lot of that is the penalty. You didn't score a goal from open play. I guess the own goal, the Romero own goal, whatever, but it wasn't on target. You know, take that, I guess that technically is open play. I don't know what I'm saying. I just think Spurs right now are in a really good moment, and that Son and Madison partnership up there, Son is lethal. Madison is a great playmaker. He's, like, everywhere. I'm low-key hoping he has an injury and can't play against us coming up here.
Don't say that. Say that maybe his wife's pregnant and they have a kid. That's nice.
Okay, his wife's pregnant. I hope he has to go to the hospital to see the child when we play them. But only for that game, because I do love watching him play. But yeah, I think I actually thought we predicted this. I thought it was at Spurs, which is why I picked a draw. I did not read the thing correctly. But shout out to Spurs and Coach Ange, as Nick would call him, for pulling this one out. I think they're really good. I think they actually have a chance to push. I don't think they're going to win the league, obviously, but I think they have a chance to, like, push those teams at the top, like, every single game, home or away.
Results like this make me just know that they will beat City at home this year, for sure. Dylan, what are your thoughts on the North London Derby?
I had fun.
The Tuckers kept it simple here. It's enjoyable.
Listen, I was looking for a spout of footy game. Yeah, like, there were goals, teams that don't like each other, great atmosphere. Like, ultimately, Tottenham's obviously more happy with that point than Arsenal is. I hate this, because I've actually not liked Spurs during the Harry Kane time. I don't know why. I think I just, like, there was something deep down that I didn't want them to do well because I find it funny. I was sitting there actually rooting for them in this game, which I didn't expect to happen. And I think it's because, like, with Ange, they finally, I think, have more of an identity of they're unapologetically going to keep going at you. And if goals happen, they happen. And I very much, I think, respect that and like that. And I think you guys brought it up before. Declan Rice going out, I think, killed the midfield dominance that Arsenal was at least having early on, that then allowed Tottenham to control the game a little bit more towards the back end. So, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, good hard-fought match. I think Tottenham's here to hang out in, you know, the top four, top six discussion, and Arsenal just keeps dropping points, which isn't helping my overall prediction. So, I'll have to figure that one out.
Go ahead, Michael.
The other thing, too, sorry, you usually call on us. The other thing is, watching this game and, like, just on, like, a personal level, I see myself, like, reading the names of players and stuff like that, and I'm just more impressed with Bissouma, Sarr, Udogie even getting that, like, yellow card, like, pretty early, having to deal with Saka on that side. I think Van de Ven is, like, a really good defender. The one thing I did forget is, like, Jesus had to play on the left because no Martinelli. I think Martinelli's, like, a real big get for Arsenal. Like, he plays, like, a really important part. And then I think Jesus instead of Nketiah in the middle, like, that's where he wants to be more than anything else. But again, like, even, like, Kulusevski, who, like, I think is a very hot and cold player, like, they all just look so much better. And maybe it's because Arsenal did so well last year that I'm just, like, they don't look even close to as good as they did.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the, I think it was City, United, and one other team with injuries. Was it? It wasn't Arsenal,
Chelsea?
Right? Because I was just, yeah. Well, no, to compare the Chelsea. Like, the Arsenal injuries.
Just those two.
Yeah, the Arsenal injuries are big, too. It's Partey, it's Trossard, it's Timber, and it's Martinelli. Like, those are four players that are trying to get in that top 11. How they rotate, you might not have all of them in there, but they're part of that first rotation for sure. So that's a big thing too. The other thing I was going to say, somebody please free my man, Emil Smith Rowe. Like, go on a loan, dude. Go play. Go to Wolves. You guys could use them. You guys could for sure use them.
We're not allowed to take people on, you know, FFP.
Yeah, true. And then before we move on to our predictions, I did see one really funny social media. I think it was a Twitter post or an X post, whatever you want to call it. Jorginho. Someone's got to revoke the Eno. He just goes by George now because he doesn't play well enough to have an Eno in his name. I think everyone probably here saw that. I don't know if you guys even shared. Was it shared in our thing? But I saw that somewhere.
No, it wasn't me. Wait, all right. One last thing. Raya or Ramsdale? Who's it going to be going forward?
I'll go first. It sucks because I don't think Ramsdale really did anything wrong. But Arteta surely wants to play Raya. You can tell. Like, I don't know. Anyone else?
Do you like the clapping from the bench?
That was such a fraud move. Like such a fraud move.
They're like he's such a good sport, and I'm like, bro, he is like clearly trying to like cope internally with the fact that he's no longer gonna be the goalkeeper.
He's well versed in PR.
That clapping didn't happen after the save though. That's what I don't understand.
It did. They were showing after the save.
They were showing him, but he was clapping, but it wasn't after the save.
Oh, that's really weird. Really? Actually.
I don't know. I'm going off of what I remember when I was watching live, and they were like showing him, and he was doing this because like I think something happened, but it wasn't after that save.
The one he came like across the goal like one handed and correct. Saved it. Yeah. Okay, because I thought it came after that. I thought that's
so,
what he was
so
doing.
So did
it
for. I.
I'm 75% confident in this statement.
Okay. I think it's either really stupid and bad or just stupid and bad.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right, let's get into our predictions. Let's do the rundown. Another good week. Everyone's above 500. Dylan, back-to-back weeks. 8-2 last week, 7-3 this week. Leader in the clubhouse this past week. You are still battling at the bottom with me. You and I are the bottom half of the table. But everyone... over 600. It's hard to say, you know, we want to be over 500. We're all over 600. Dylan sitting at 36-23. I am at 40-19. Nick is at 41-18. Michael, 44-15. And has not had a week under 500 yet. Not had a week under 500 yet. Michael has not had a week under 500 yet. I just want to keep repeating that, just so everyone is aware.
What's wrong with you?
Let's dive into it. I'm trying to get the game pick gods on my side. First game of the week, Villa's going to host Brighton. This should be a good one. It should be interesting. We all think Brighton's a low-key wagon. Villa still, I think, in the top six. Michael, since you're the leader, lead us off here.
God damn it. I didn't want to go first. This is tough because Villa pretty good at home. Actually, they're really good at home, but I don't think they've played anybody great at home yet. I got to go with Brighton, man. I got to stick with Brighton until they really disappoint me.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I'm going with the Gulls as well. Dylan, who you got?
I was going to go with Brighton, but I don't like that we're all going with Brighton probably. Screw it. I don't like Villa. Go Brighton.
All right. Nick?
I'm going to subscribe to my post-Europe theory. We're taking Brighton here.
Love it. Bournemouth is hosting Arsenal. I got Arsenal in this one. Dylan, who you got in this?
Take the Gooners.
Nick?
Yeah, I'm taking the Gooners.
Michael?
I feel really, really bad for Bournemouth. I want them to get on a run of games with like five bottom half teams. So they can get some points, but I got Arsenal as well.
Speaking of Michael, our guy Craig, he's like in Southeast Asia now. They posted some good content. It's a cherry around the world. They've been calling it on Up the Cherries in all defense departments. I've been watching it. Guy's hilarious. Got to get him back on.
I love Craig. Craig is great.
Craig's a good dude. Craig's crazy. Everton coming off a dub They're going to host Luton, where they can get another one. I am going to Dylan on this one. Dylan, who you got?
Out of pure survival, I will be taking a tie. I do think Everton's actually going to win this game, but I will be taking a tie for the record books.
Nick?
If the venue was changed, my pick would change, but I'm taking Everton to win.
Michael?
Yeah, I think Everton are going to win because Luton is just that bad.
I got to draw too because I'm pro Wolves as like my make-a-wish this season. I think I'm going to go on every podcast I can and be like, you got to be pro Wolves. I'm getting everyone behind Dylan. United, hosting Crystal Palace. Nick, taking your boys?
Begrudgingly, United.
Michael?
Is Amrabat's like back, right? Like he's going to start playing?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, if he's starting and he's like going to at least play like 2/3 of the game, I think it'll be a massive boost, so I'm going to go United.
I'm going United as well. Love that Michael always has one game in here that he has to have someone else do some research for him here. But I got United. Dylan, who you got?
Nick, it's going to look up. You guys are about to go on a roll, and it starts here. So United.
Nick's probably loving that.
You don't pick butter in the parlay.
Newcastle's going to host Burnley. Michael, you got Newcastle?
Yeah, I got Newcastle.
I got Newcastle as well. Dylan?
I have Newcastle.
Nick?
I believe I took Newcastle as well.
Yeah. West Ham is hosting Sheffield United. I'm going to take the Hammers, the Irons, whatever you want to call them. I got West Ham here. It's at home. Big win there as well. Dylan, who you got?
I will be taking the Hammers as well.
Nick?
Samesies.
Michael?
Hammers, baby.
All right. The closest NAFTA members who live by each other derby, Wolves, are going to host Man City. It is the Two River Derby is what we'll call it. Brooklyn versus Hoboken. Dylan, who you got?
Congratulations. I'll be taking City.
Nick?
I feel it.
City.
Michael?
City.
Yeah, I got City as well. Game of the Week. I think Michael actually dubbed this one Game of the Week, because I don't think I added these games. So actually, shout out to Michael for the help. If you didn't help, just take it, because I haven't complimented you in a while.
I did. I did it today.
Love it. Thank you, brother. Spurs hosting Liverpool. Michael, what are your thoughts? What's going on in this one?
Like I had mentioned, if Madison isn't playing, which I think they said he's 75%, so it looks like he's going to play. If he's not playing, I'm very confident that we can win, because I don't think their defense is great. This is got draw written all over it, but I'm going Liverpool.
Yeah. Nick, who you got?
I took a draw here.
I did as well. Got a draw for Spurs Liverpool at the London Stadium. Dylan, what do you got?
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'll take Liverpool.
Oh, the other Kool-Aid. I thought you were about to say the Big Ange Kool-Aid. All right, so two Liverpudlians and two draws. Forest, they're hosting Brentford. Brentford down bad, tremendous. Forest look decent, look sneaky, look crafty. Nick, who do you got in this?
I'm taking Forest just because of the home field advantage.
Interesting. Michael, who you got?
Forest. I just think they're good at home.
Man, you guys are really screwing me up. I got Brentford. They got to come back. They got to bounce back. I'm a bounce back guy. Dylan, who you got?
I'm taking Forest because they're good at home.
Damn it. I look like an idiot. Last game of the week, Fulham is hosting Chelsea. Look, this is a troll pick, but I got a tie. Nil-nil.
That's the troll pick?
I don't think that's a bad pick.
Nil-nil. I'm doing another one. The draw -1.5. That's probably going to be great odds on that one. I might throw a flyer on it. Dylan, who you got?
I also have a draw. I think the Cottage is a tough place to play.
The Cottage is going to be rocking. Nick?
I'm taking Fulham.
Wow. All right, we're fully off. We're off Chelsea. Michael?
You know, I've been trying to play. I've always been like, you know what? I'm gonna lean into my comments finally. Like, you know what? They're just not good. Let's just start actually doing what we say.
I do think a majority of our losses are Chelsea can't be this bad, and then you know we don't get it right. So, Michael, who you got?
I do think Chelsea get a goal this game. I think they lose 2-1.
Wow. All right. Over. Get the over on that one as well. We got a bonus pick. Luton and Burnley are making up their game on Tuesday, which means...
You remembered. I forgot.
Which means we're not going to have to record until Tuesday of next week, so check out the next episode coming out on a Wednesday. Nick, let's start with you. This is a big game. Luton versus Burnley.
Oh, what you got? Where is it? Sorry, where is it?
Luton. You didn't fill it out. You're gonna have to just knee jerk.
It's in Luton.
We're taking Luton Town.
All right, Michael.
Luton, baby. This is the fucking game for them. I'm telling you, they're gonna be so amped.
All right, I got Burnley. Fuck you guys.
Who you got? Again, survival purposes. I'll take a tie.
Yeah, I love this. All right, those are our predictions for the week. Like I said. Match week goes until Tuesday of this week with the bonus game. Check out our episode coming out Wednesday for that. All right, let's get into the bets. Podlay, the first leg of the podlay. Nick, it's going to be a new rule. It's going to be a new rule. If you're the person that fucks up the podlay, you got to go first the next week. Let's review real quick, though, on the podlay. Arsenal Tottenham over 3.5 hit. Porto money line, which meant I had to get this out early. Hit.
It was the right bet.
Yes, it was. It was absolutely the right bet. Palace Fulham draw under 1.5 hit. Wolves money line did not hit, which is painful for Nick because he picked it, but like kind of painful for Dylan too because he had to live it. So.
Oh, I followed it too. That was a big moneymaker for me. If that sucker hit too, like
I could have told you not to do sucker. It. I think I told you not to do it.
I think it has to be the commitment of all of us that we follow this podlay every week. So
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So Nick, who are you leading us off with this week?
I have four choices lined up, and I was hoping I was gonna get to go last to read the room and how we were going.
So you have no choice.
Can I give you the two choices I'm stuck between and then we make a group decision?
No, you gotta pick one. The flakiest motherfucker.
Alright, we're gonna take Man City money line first half -135.
Alright,
Man City. Even though they score most of their goals in the second half, it's Wolves.
True. Wolves do play very good defense against them. Michael, what's your leg?
I got over 3.5 Aston Villa Brighton +105.
Ooh, I like that. Man, I've made some out-of-pocket picks, and they've hit. And I told you guys last week, I was like, look, I'm gonna rein it back in, for sure. What I got is the tie and over 1.5 for Tottenham Liverpool +330.
That's a great pick, actually.
Tie, a draw, over 1.5 for the game, +330 Tottenham Liverpool.
I was looking at Liverpool that game between 1-3 goals. The range yeah. of goals was interesting to me.
Well, that would hit. Michael, make sure you're keeping track of these two, please. And then, Dylan, what do you got?
Well, I guess I can't do what I was going to say because Liverpool's last three games have ended 3-1 Liverpool, so I was going to give you 3-1 exact score Liverpool +1,200, but we can't do that. So good thing I had three lined up. Would you like me to go with Michael's team or John's team?
You can do mine. Let's put the onus on City this week.
Cool, because I feel good about this one. Erling Haaland to score 2 goals +200.
Oh. Damn. Love it.
So we got to go in here and make a same game parlay. Give me one second.
My other one was Darwin Nunez to score, but I don't know if he's going to start or not.
He'll start.
Well, let's do this. While Michael gets our odds for the podlay, let me go into my parlay of the week. And look, if you followed the last one, we didn't hit it, but hopefully you broke the bets out. I've been doing that too, and I've hit a couple times now, and we got some money to play with. So I'm going to do just a flyer. Do a half a unit, a quarter of a unit on this. There's three, and everyone knows how much I like a game result and an over-under combo. Arsenal win, but under 1.5. I think it's a 1-0 game against Bournemouth. Bournemouth play a pretty stinky defense, or a stingy defense, not stinky, stingy defense. And Arsenal kind of haven't figured out the scoring lately. That's plus 850. I got the Tottenham-Liverpool over 1.5. Draw in here again, like I said, it was plus 330. And then the pick of the week, I actually think that I wanted to put in the podlay, but I was like, look, I'm not going to put this on my guys again. Under 1.5, draw, Everton versus Luton, plus 1,100. I think if you're able to hit this, it is like plus 48,920. You don't have to listen to the pod anymore. Enjoy your island. Just go off, Kings. Dylan, what do you got?
Not as bold. We'll start off with Man City to keep a clean sheet, plus 115. Do I know my woofs? Do I know my woofs? So if that's plus money, you should probably take that. I'll be going against our podlay, but, you know, it's always good to hedge. Liverpool, I think, is going to win at plus 120. Until both Fulham and Chelsea prove to me that they can actually score, I will be taking unders in their games. Good thing they're playing each other, so we'll be taking the under 2.5 at minus 105. And finally, I think people think there's going to be a lot of goals in this game. I think it's going to be closely contested. The under 3.5 in Villa Brighton, minus 140.
Love it.
Literally bet against everything in the pod lay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a hedge. Big old hedge.
This is what I'll be honest. This is what I had ready to go before. So like, I have to go with what my reads were, and then I have to ride with you guys because you told me that's what we're doing.
Yeah, look, Dylan, you're plus 0.04 units. We're still warming up. Early in the season, 12 and 13.
It hasn't been the best year, but we got to figure it out.
It's all right. It's all right. We're all predicting games very well. Michael, did you get our total for the podlay?
Yeah. So right now you can't parlay any of the games yet. I think they usually let you do the parlay like closer to when they start, but I did just find a plus 200 to like replace what it would be essentially with mm-hmm. Holland's goal. Mm-hmm. You're looking at about a plus 4,500.
Wow. Love it. Big money, big money, big money. All right. Like I said at the top, follow, like, subscribe, give us a 5-star review, share it with a friend. We're all about the grassroots out here. Take a look at us on YouTube. We break the podcast down into six smaller videos, however many it ends up being for the week. Dylan, get us out of here with a joke.
What do the Bermuda Triangle and Chelsea have in common? Their goals are lost in the Bermuda Triangle as well. Cheers.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.